step into the realm of Hard Girl Soft Life, formerly known as Millennial Triggered, a sanctuary where boundaries are blurred, norms are questioned, and growth is inevitable. This isn't just another podcast about womanhood. This is a rebellion against conformity and a quest for truth. I'm Nell Walker, your guide through the labyrinth of womanhood, sexuality, spirituality, and holistic health. Welcome to Hard Girl Soft Life, where softness meets strength and vulnerability is our greatest power. Hello, my lovelies. Today, I want to talk about something that I hear a lot of women say, and it was including me. I used to say this, and it took me a long time to get out of this viewpoint around men and spirituality and connection, but I was faced with it the other day. I had someone who I'm an acquaintance with, and she's been wanting to sit down with me and get some info about her dating life and love life. And so it wasn't a coaching session, but it was just a quick kind of tips. That one's always tricky because I think people are always interested in what I have to say about their relationship, their sex life, what they're doing. This was not about sex. This was just about relationship with her. And they sit down, they want to get my advice, but then they don't want to hear it. And isn't that just like the human experience where we know we want to get advice because whatever we're doing is not working, but then when we sit down and someone has, you know, the ovaries, not the balls, the ovaries to, you know, call it what it is, and be honest with you and what you could change, then God, the energy changes. You know, I think a lot of women who talk with me are hoping I'm just going to bash the man that they're wanting to come and talk to me about. But when I highlight things about what they're doing, their actions, they're like, oh, no, like, let me, like, this is why I didn't. I don't usually be able, and they're very defensive. It's hard not to be defensive. That one's been one I've had to learn for a long time with my father. We won't get into that, but not being understood is a thing I absolutely hate. I want to be understood. Specifically, with my, you know, the person who should know you best, right? And then he's the one who knows me the least. Being defensive is not going to get you anywhere. And I only want the women who are ready to look at themselves. So I'm going to tell you what today's topic is, and it is about soulmates. And what I hear a lot of, soulmates, twin flames, other life. Okay. Now, you heard the intro podcast, right? You heard the intro, what is it? The song thing, the thing I made where I tell you what the podcast is about. Okay. So this is about confronting your own shit. This is about actually being truthful with yourself. You and I are not enemies. We are just on the path to better ourselves. Okay. There are a lot of accounts out there that will tell you what you want to hear. Go ahead, go over there. You're not going to learn much. Your bias will be confirmed. That's not fucking happening here. Okay, we all need to know I'm in the back end of luteal. So I'm, you know, the the progesterone is there. So she came up to me and she was asking me specifically about this guy that she's interested in, and he's not really shown an interest in her. They do business stuff together, but she can tell that they're like soulmates, and that she can tell that he loves her and that she loves him. And the question I asked, so, you know, obviously need to get a background of the situation, and I asked her, how do you know he loves you? What does he do? And then another one was, what does he do for you that is so different than any other man you meet. Her response just went on about like the soul connection, and it feels like they have, you know, expanded time and earth and got like it. She just was talking about feelings, her feelings based experience about how like these are the reasons why they need to be together. Doesn't know the guy that well. And she also made a comment, which, you know, was interesting. Like, it was a point for her that made her feel like, oh, like, I usually go for, like, guys who are, like, 6'5". She's very tall. 6'5". And who, like, have melatonin, like a melatonin brother. And this guy's, like, very European and blonde. Because this woman is, she originates from Africa. So she's, like, very into very specific cultures, very specific looking guys. She's like, I'd never date a white man, but this guy, like, I would. And we have very different cultures. But, like, I can look past that because, and blah, blah, blah. So she's seeing that as a cue, an indicator that this must be her soulmate because she loves him regardless of all the things and traits that she normally would not go for. And I think that this is a fair point to make. Not that he's your soulmate, but a fair point to make that usually we tend to fall into a pattern based on how we were raised, and we go for the men that exhibit those qualities of the person we are trying to, we're trying to earn the attention from the person that we were raised with that didn't give us the most attention or hurt us the most. So if you can look at the patterns that you're exhibiting, that you are calling in and you're only giving the time of day to these specific looking men, then if you were to open yourself up to a totally different type of man, you would have a very new experience with new patterns, new shifts, new arguments, new laughs, new good times with that person. You would learn new things about yourself as well as about men and not needing to categorize them all in the same way, right? That happened with my partner, Jason, and I. Completely opposite to what I had always been going for. And I was very apprehensive at the beginning. And also I didn't have that zing zing moment of like, I know you. I like my soul recognizes your soul. And it turns out this is the healthiest relationship I've ever been in. So let's talk about soulmates and women. I know what it's like to feel as though my soul recognizes a stranger's soul. I believe in past lives. I've had my own experience of remembering a past life of mine. And it was really challenging. And there was a man involved in that. It was an odd situation. If you're interested, I'll share the story on another episode. We won't go through it today. But just know that I do understand. I understand not once, but twice what it feels like to just recognize someone on a cellular level and be like, no, that's the person I'm supposed to be with. So I do understand it, but let me tell you what's going on. It's a cover. It's a deep rooted feeling deep in your cellular being that is just trauma recognizing trauma. I will try and find the research papers on this, but it has been proven that feeling of like, you're home. I know you. You're home to me. I don't know you at all, but I like, there's just something about you that is on a cellular level, being able to recognize that that person exhibits traits that you were raised with that are on the negative spectrum that you are healing. So it is that ingrained ability, that intuitiveness of our bodies that we just science cannot prove. It is recognizing there is a similar response of trauma, of just negative energy, negative upbringing, all these things that you struggle with that wound you, that is you gravitating towards that because it is the familiar. You know how to deal with that. But because you're not aware of that, and because you're still so damaged, you haven't worked on yourself, you haven't worked on your worth, so you'll stay with someone just because you're terrified of being lonely. You will take shit. You will continually request action and request change in your relationship, and never put your foot down and actually put your actions where your fucking mouth is. You'll never actually leave because you have not developed a spine. You will remain there and you'll just keep thinking like, this is my soulmate and I'm going to make this work no matter what. But here's the problem with soulmates. I have yet to come across a good relationship where they say we're soulmates. Every time I hear a woman talk about, oh, he's my soulmate, we're soulmates, there is always turmoil and it's always him pulling away and her pursuing and just exhausting herself. In fact, this woman that kind of started this conversation, she's not the only woman this week who brought up soulmates. Another woman brought up soulmates. She's early 20s. It's her first relationship. Been together for 2 years. He's 21. She's 22. And he's treating her like absolute shit. And I ask, so why are you staying? Well, he's my soulmate. Like I just feel like we know so much about each other. Like we're in the same friend group. We've gone through so much together. We have this like similar views on things and this and that. She was listing off things that are like, you would never, when you hear me say those things, you're like, oh, I'd hope you'd think that doesn't really sound like it's her soulmate. It just sounds as though she's kind of bonded to him. So I guess my question is like, what is a soulmate to you? How do you know it's a soulmate and how should your soulmate be treating you? So essentially you've decided, so like in these soulmate relationships or in these soulmate dating situationships, it's always a pattern of she feels it. She's like, there's something there. I can feel it, blah, blah, blah. And yes, women feel these things all the time. Women can sense and pick up on things. And maybe he is someone from your past life. Maybe you were husband and wife in a past life and you went through a lot of turmoil. And maybe he was an absolutely fabulous husband in that past life, but that is not who he is in this life. And you're not who yourself, you, your past self were, you know, you get what I'm saying. The reality is you pick up on that and now you're rolling with it and you think that it's a reason to be together. And so you fight for it and he probably can't recognize it because he doesn't have that deep intuned ability, because men are really shut off from it just based on the way our society conditions boys. It's there. The ability is there. They can't tap into it. It's learned. You have to really work on it. So he's probably feeling certain things. He's probably feeling that way too. But when men have those strong feelings and they haven't really worked enough on their emotional intelligence, they pull away. They pull away and they hide. They kind of bunker down and they're trying to process it. They don't know who to talk to. And men don't really have other men friends that could hold space, where as women, you're like, I feel like he's just from a different life. And even if your friend doesn't believe in that, they can understand what you mean. Like, yeah, I know, I can get that. And women are a lot more open to the unknown, to magic, to energy, to spirituality, whereas men aren't. So he doesn't really have anyone to talk to. He just has to work through it himself. And it's likely that he isn't the greatest with processing or hasn't been, you know, hasn't developed or been given tools to guide him on that. Okay. So you start like very quickly feeling like you guys are destined together. So things really quicken, they progress quite quickly. And the more you want to move things forward so quickly, the more he pulls back, and the pulling back naturally as a magnet works causes you to lean in and pursue him. And of course he pulls back again. So it's a dance there. It's a circle. It's definitely a circular process, a vicious cycle. And essentially you are trying to communicate your needs with him, and then he he kind of shuts down and freaks out. Maybe he's, you know, shared and expressed these deep feelings for you, but he's expressed like, I'm not ready or blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, maybe you guys move on in your relationship together, but there's a dynamic there where you're putting a lot more in it than he is. This naturally makes you feel uncomfortable. You bring it up. You try to have a conversation about it. Baby, I wish you could do X, Y, and Z. Or I wish, can we have a conversation? Or I need you to change this so that I can, you know, feel safer in the relationship, show up this way, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you plan things? Blah, 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 blah. Why don't you, blah, blah, blah. You put so much fucking effort into it. And because you keep telling him these things and he's not doing it, it makes you even more frustrated. So you kind of like get to the point where you realize, well, no, it's fine. I can, you know, maybe, oh, he's gone through so much in his life, or his last relationship ended like this. And so he thinks I'm going to be like this. Therefore, I need to prove to him that I'm not like her. I can do it this way, or blah, blah, blah. And so essentially you start recognizing that he's not able to do it right now, but there's that soul connection and you can't live without him. You'll never find someone that you feel this way about ever again, which might not be necessarily a bad thing if you think about it, but we'll get to that. So then you're like, you know what? Like you theoretically at that point should be leaning back and waiting to see what he does with the energy. Because if you're pulling away, someone's got to pursue. And if someone is not pursuing, then there's no relationship there. Both of you can't pull away. And it does need to be a dance. Especially at the beginning, he should be pursuing. But our society is so topsy-turvy. Men don't even know what they're allowed to do anymore. They don't even know how to be a man because everyone's so fucking angry at them if they display an ounce of masculinity. So it's confusing, but regardless, you can't be the one pursuing. It's in his own nature. He needs to pursue. If he's not pursuing you, then you need to go after trying to have conversations. Do as much as you can. Have the conversations, blah, blah, blah. Send him all the fucking TikToks and podcasts you can. But you need to trust his actions. But the reality is you're so in your masculine in this soulmate relationship. You're so in your doing energy. I'm going to do it all. No worries. Like he's so traumatized and he loves me. He's told me he loves me. Like he's told me all of the things that make me feel reassured in the relationship for like 2 days. Those fumes will get you going for 2 whole days. And then you'll need the reassurance later. That then, you know, you'll say, you know what, baby, you can't fight for me right now because you're working through stuff, but like, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for us. Like I have enough ability and energy that like, I'm going to carry the weight on my shoulders. And like, you're going to like, see how different I am to like the people in your past, or like, I would never treat you like your mom or blah, 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 any of those things. So like you start overcompensating, whereas you should have tried to take a step back. And maybe you have tried. Maybe you've tried to take a step back to like see if, wow, this wind is crazy. But while you were trying to take a step back, it was too uncomfortable for you because you're action-based oriented. This is what I hear all the time. When women ask me, so this woman was that she said, I want a relationship like yours, because she's seen Jason and I together. I want that. I want what you have because I'm strong. And I am sure that you are too. If you are listening here, I'm just so fucking sure you resonate with being a badass, like strong, resilient woman who's got a lot of shit to work through, but as well as like you have done a huge amount of work on yourself. So she's seeing me in a different environment outside of my relationship, right? So she's seeing a very strong woman. She's commented on quite a few times. She's like, you are so fucking strong. Like you're a leader. Like you do. And she's such a sweetie pie. She compliments quite often about the strength I have, because she is too. What that woman can stand her ground. She has fortitude. But then she sees me with Jason and she sees a soft woman. And she sees all of that leadership, all of that strength be placed on the side and then allowing him to take over. And it's interesting, right? Because we see strong women all the time around us, but we don't see what it's like in their relationship. We have such a hard time imagining what it's like inside the house with such a strong woman. If you find the right man, you don't ever have to dull who you are. You just have to soften in your being. And it's a learned trait too, especially if you were raised by women or passive men. It's a learned trait, and it takes a very specific type of man to be able to do that to a woman. Like, so she's seen that, and she's like, I want what you have. But the reality is you have to be able to take a step back when you are learning who a person is so that they can show you who they are. Women, I know you. I know that you can make or break the entire relationship. If you see a man you really want, Lord have mercy, step back. You will make it happen. You are a doer, a pursuer. You will fucking make it happen. You'll get someone to propose. You'll get married. You'll have the kids that you want, all that kind of stuff. You'll make that happen if you are placing and projecting your desires onto him and you're like, that's who he is. He's that person. When in reality, you have just made the life happen and he's, you know, he's passive and he's going along with it. Majority of men will just go along with it. You made it easy for them. And then one day you're going to wake up and you are going to realize that he is actually like, you'll be so exhausted from taking care of the kids or running the business or blah, 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 or whatever. And, or maybe you'll get sick, like who knows? And you will need to rely on him and he will not fucking step up and he will be a wimpy noodle because you were doing all of it and you might be like, nah, 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 you haven't done this. Why don't you do this? Blah, blah, blah. Because you didn't give him the chance to show you who he was because you don't like the waiting. And this is what this woman was complaining to me about. She goes, I said, you need to take a step back. You need to not be so upfront with how you feel. You've shown him all of your cards. You've made it incredibly easy for him. There is no mystery to you. Men love mystery and you've got to be a mystery. And she goes, I'm not into playing games. I don't like playing games. And I'm like, I totally understand that. It's not something I enjoy either. But I said to her, I'm like, you don't like playing games and you're not prepared to play a game. But yet we live in a generation who doesn't know how to play the game with a man during the dating phase. And therefore the men are getting everything they want so easily. They don't have to work for it. And all these women are deeply unhappy in their relationship. So she kind of looked at me like, oh my God, you're right. And so it took her a minute and she sat with that. But the reality is it's not a game. It's a strategy. And I think that I don't know how it happened. And I'm not here to shit on men. Men have their own crap going on and have to deal with a lot from our patriarchal conditioning. They are also victims of the patriarchy. But they have it so easy right now. You have made it so incredibly easy to get in your pants because the propaganda has worked on you. It worked on me no longer now, but this idea, like I can have sex with whoever I want. And there's, it's so old school making somebody wait, to like have sex with me. Cause like I'm not just my vagina. I'm not just like my body and this and that. But you don't understand the science behind men, how men fall in love. And you don't understand the science on how you fall in love. If you're interested, you can scroll down to one of the episodes, Hookup Culture, Can Women Handle It? You can go listen to that and I explain the entire science of how that works. But you having sex with him, very like so soon, it's just detrimental to you, to him, to what you're working towards. That's for someone who's actually wanting a relationship. If you are just wanting to have sex for the sake of having sex, then we're not talking about you. But it is a strategy and there are hormones at play. Once you get into a relationship, after you've spent this time learning your partner and really understanding him, then then you deepen in that partnership and there are no games. There should be no games in your relationship. You can keep your secrets. You can still be a mystery in certain departments, but there are no games in your relationship. The only strategy that should be occurring in your relationship is a strategy between both of you and how you're going to handle life and make it out. Like you're going to survive this fucking shitstorm of life together. If you hear things in the background, it's my dog playing with his blanket. Sorry. But before that, you have to get over a certain, like, look, you're not fucking special. Even though you are very incredible, you're so special. You're incredibly special, but you're not fucking special at the same time. You get what I'm saying here? You're just some girl that he's dating, that, you know, he's just getting used to. And so you have to position yourself in a way that makes you stand out from majority of the crowd. Majority of the crowd of women are sharing their feelings right away from the get-go when those feelings should actually have time to develop. And you should not be sharing them so willy-nilly. He should be sharing his feelings first. You take the lead from him. You're making it incredibly easy to get in their pants. I made Jason wait months to get in my pants. I was the first woman who ever did that. I asked him. So he's 43. So he's been with a good chunk of women. And I asked him, what's the longest you've waited for sex in your past? He said 2 weeks. And we have a mutual friend who expressed that if a woman makes him wait more than 3 weeks to have sex, he thinks it's disrespectful. This guy, not Jason, this guy. He said, unless she's been like raped or molested or she's a virgin, there's no excuse for a woman to not be having sex within 3 weeks. So, and that's a guy like who has a feminist mom. Like he's, you know, really into hard work, working women, really into like more of the masculinized women in terms of like not wanting to create a lifestyle that's more soft for his woman. I just would never think that was his opinion. And I was like flabbergasted when I heard this. And there were some other guys who were agreeing with that. And it was really fascinating to me. Because Jason was, you know, we were having all these conversations about why it's important to wait. And all these guys are obviously like when we were first dating, have you smashed yet? Like how it is. And two of them were concerned and came to him were like, if she hasn't had sex with you in a month, like you gotta let her go. And he was like, are you guys hearing yourself right now? Like you view women like that? Like that, like that's so, I'm so sad that they, you know, showed their hands that way, their cards. But it really helped me understand that like men of all types really have this view on sex. And so you should keep your body to yourself as long as possible because it's really easy for these men to get pussy. You're not fucking special. Your pussy's not special. it's not special unless you take steps towards making it special. And you might think, well, it doesn't need to be special. Why would it need to be seen as this Mecca? It is a Mecca. It is a magical source. Men start wars over women. Like, it's that thing that they work all their life to. That man will work three fucking jobs, like, to make you happy and respect him. Men need respect. Like, he wants to get your respect and your trust so that, like, he can be with you, and that who you are as a woman in essence means, like, you're his. Like, that's how men think. He wants you to be his and only his. And he wants to know that what you have has really not been interacted with that much by other men. If you're easy, you're not special to him. If you are making it so easy, then you've made it easy to other men, and that concerns him. And you may think that's so fucking stupid. And you may think that's, what's it called? Misogynistic. You may think, yeah, fair, all fair. I'm not saying that the way men think isn't fucking dumb. I'm just telling you how men think. So instead of trying to create smear campaigns and PR attempts to change the minds of men, why don't you understand how men work, create a strategy, use it to your fucking benefit? Because don't let a good man go all because you're trying to change the way he's thinking. Work with it. But I want you to understand that. So the fact of the matter is, I was wanting to see if Jason was going to be my husband. So I took traditional and modern, and I amalgamated it because those are my ethos, right? I don't have any intention of saving myself before marriage, because there's a lot of information around it, like that you get from inside the bedroom. Sorry, my dog's throwing me off right now. Focus. There's important information that I believe that you should know about the sex life between a couple before getting married. If I got married to my first boyfriend at 21, my brain hadn't even fully fucking formed yet. If we had gotten married and hadn't had sex first, I would be living a very unhappy life because there were a lot of issues there and he was not willing to work on them. And I was so unsatisfied, and it changed the dynamic of our relationship, and I lost respect for him because of his lack of willingness to actually do the work to change a few things. So I do believe that it's really important to be able to assess what the chemistry is with your partner, and it also allows you to see, like, how you learn each other. So I'm mixing traditional and modernism, but at the same time, it should not be easy for someone to get into my pants, because it's so easy for men to get in any woman's pants. So therefore, what sets me apart? My killer personality, all the awesomeness, absolutely. But when a man has sex with you before his testosterone lowers, because it spikes, again, I talk about this in that episode I was telling you, his testosterone spikes during the dating phase, which blocks the two hormones that allow men to fall in love. It's not the same way for women. It doesn't work that way. And so when you have sex before that testosterone lowers and those two bonding chemicals can come in and allow him to, like, start to fall in love and attach to you, the Coolidge effect takes place. So if you guys have sex too early before that testosterone has lowered, which it takes time for him to learn who you are, and when he starts to see you in a future position of, like, what would be like proposing to her? What it would be like if she was my wife? Yada, yada, yada. If that doesn't happen, the Coolidge effect takes place. So then he loses interest within, you know, a certain time frame, and then moves on to pursuing a different woman. You guys could literally again, be having this soulmate connection. You could be doing all of like, oh my God, we know each other and blah, 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 blah. And because that soulmate connection makes it so intense, you're like, we have to be one together and have sex, or, you know, oh, like it feels like we've known each other for years. So therefore, are we going to quicken this up? And so perhaps he was feeling a certain way about you and was pursuing and taking steps. But as soon as you give your body over so quickly and he hasn't had to work hard for it, then the hormones, like chemically, his brain changes. And so eventually he starts to grow tired and not interested in you, and then moves on to the next. Not because he wasn't thoroughly and fully interested in you, but because you played the game wrong, because it is a fucking game. Now, I know that there will be some of you who will say, well, that didn't happen to me. I had sex with my husband on the very first date, and we've been together for 15 years. I am not saying that there are not exceptions to the rules. There always are. Always are. He may have started off with lower testosterone anyway. So when it was peaking during the courting phase, it wasn't going high enough to block those two chemicals. Or the other thing I tell people, and they kind of get a little bit angry at me, is you might be married for 15 years, but has it been a marriage where you have felt that he has shown up, that he has led, that he has provided, that he has alleviated a good chunk of stress and responsibilities off your shoulders? Or has it been a situation where you guys are together, you really have been trying to make it work, but it's not ideal and it has been a struggle bus? Obviously, relationship is always going to have ebbs and flows and have this, you know, the struggles. So please don't get that wrong. But just because you've still been, just because your husband married you and you guys had sex on the first date, does not mean that it's equated to a relationship that you deserve. So here are a few questions you need to ask yourself if you're in this soulmate situation. First one is, regardless of like whether you think you're in love or you haven't used the love word yet, what makes his love so different from any other man? What makes him worth fighting for and so unique in a way that like other men cannot provide this same thing? I want you to take away the feelings, the emotions that you have, and I want you to look at the bare structure. Next is, why do you feel the way you feel? What about his actions have made you feel so connected to him? Is there an action that was so amazing, or you just feel this way? Like, why do you feel this way? Because you just met him and you just feel this way? You didn't cultivate those feelings. Those were not cultivated between you two, right? So a healthy relationship and a healthy dating style is you don't know anything about each other and you spend a little bit of time, maybe once or twice a week, going on a date here and there, learning about each other, asking questions, and you progressively deepen that understanding of each other and that connection. But so it's in the learning of one another that you develop and build the love. But you're just coming in and saying, oh, I love him. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I can't describe it. That's a major red flag. And I'm calling it because I've gone through it multiple times. It's a fucking red flag. You don't know this person. You love him. Why? What is it about him that has nothing to do with you that you love so fucking much? Why do you love him? You should be able to say, these are the reasons why I love him. If you can't, you're like, I don't know, I just feel it. It's just deep within my bones. You're living in a story that you are projecting full of delusion. You have grown up with watching fairy tale shit and like love comedies that depict a relationship that is based around love bombing, things going really quick. She gives up her body really quickly for him. They have a fight. They never ask questions about each other, but they love each other. We never know why they fell in love. It's just like, oh, I love him because like, he does this for me and he does this for me. But every time I'm in my coaching, I ask the question, what is it that you love about him that has nothing to do with you and vice versa? I ask men that a lot because women have a bit more of an understanding. And I say that in that way, I structure it in that way because you need to love a person for who they are, not what they do for you. And you also cannot love someone you don't know anything about. If you're over there shaking your head thinking, no, like I know his essence. I know who he is. Like my soul recognizes his soul. No, absolutely not. Your soul might recognize his soul from who you were in your past life, if we're going off of that. But you are an entirely different person with a different plan on this lifetime than he does. You may have needed to be like connect together for a few months to finish that soul contract you had, but you don't love him. If you can't tell me why you love him, but you say, I can't explain it, it's just a feeling, you are shitting me. You're shitting everyone. You might be wondering why I'm being so hard, because usually I try to be understanding on my podcast. But no, I really needed someone to call my bullshit on the two situations that I ended up being in. And no one did. All I talked about was like, I know him. He's blah, blah, blah. It's because we want to be saved. It's such a stereotypical thing, but I'll say it. I want to be saved. I mean, not anymore, but in a different roundabout way, I can still say, I want to be taken care of. I want the answers. I want my partner to have the answers to my questions. I want to feel like he knows it all and I don't have to know any of it, even though I know a really good shit ton of stuff. I still want to feel like my world could collapse and he would hold all of it and help me figure it out. And the reason why I feel that is because I didn't have that growing up. No one helped me figure out the spiraling, the stuff that I grew up with. No one had my back. No one was there to help hold and lighten the load. It was all on me and continued to be on me even in relationships that I was in. It was me guiding it and pursuing it and chasing it and being so desperate to be loved. I so desperately wanted to be loved. I wanted to finally have my love story. I wanted to be taken care of. I wanted everything to be okay. And so I chose men who I decided were my soulmates. I decided it was divine intervention. Look, there's still divine intervention. I fully, wholly believe Jason was divine intervention because I got on my knees and I fucking begged God 2 weeks prior to meeting Jason to, there were certain things about my life, the things that I asked for that were involved in the requests of the partner I wanted, like the future husband. 2 weeks later, Jason came into my life. Jason is the complete opposite of what I have ever gone for. This is a true partner. And as time progressed, I was like, I definitely think God brought you in. I definitely feel like you were the man that I was praying for. But I don't put that on a pedestal. I am prepared to walk away from this relationship if it does not serve me. Whereas in past relationships, it was not serving me. and I would not walk away from it because I was really scared and I didn't have the worthiness that I now have. And so if you are ever in a situation where you're like, I absolutely cannot walk away from this person, we are bonded and tied, then you're in a red flag relationship. You can get out of it and you will. But you've got to start looking at the patterns that you follow and you need to disrupt them and try something else. Because it's in the unknown that lies our destiny. It is in the unknown where we find the parts of ourselves that we've never uncovered. It's a pleasant surprise. But if you are constantly working in the known and you are scared of change and you are scared of being faced with the realities of who you are, then that's an issue. So that's what I have to say. It was a harsh one today, but what I've said to you and some of the names I've called some of you are what I've also recognized in myself. And this is not coming from judgment of someone because, oh, I'm better. No. I've been there. I'm calling a spade a spade. It's time for you to look fucking hard in the mirror and ask yourself, is this where you're meant to be for the next 25 years? Is this who you're going to raise your children with? Is this who you want their father to be? Do you want your son to turn into him? And do you want your daughter to date men like him? Because she will, because you're dating him because he's like your father. Think about it. And I would love to hear what your thoughts are on this. So if you want to go ahead and leave a comment, if you're listening on Spotify, do it. Leave it. I dare you. And if you'd like to rate the podcast, be great, because it's free for you and it's free for me. Please share this podcast with someone who needs a punch in the stomach. All right. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next time.